As a College Station City Council member, actually, John was the first planning and zoning chairman who I ever interviewed. We were talking at a time when planning and zoning was very important, as it continues to be. Thanks for coming back now as an elected official.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
Now, how long were you on PNC?
I was on 6 years, a full three-year terms from 2004 to 2010.
Right. And you're not the first person to move from PNC to council, but let's talk about that from a standpoint of your years on PNC and how you think that has painted your view while on council now.
Well, anybody who's been on PNC has learned to listen to the public issues, weigh them and debate them publicly, and you learn an awful lot about the nuts and bolts of the planning, zoning, land use, comprehensive plan. I would say the main thing that came out of that, my years there, was the development and adoption and now implementation of our comprehensive plan and all of the component parts to it, which it will inform and do inform what we're doing on city council. And that's one of the reasons I ran for city council, is I wanted to be part of the implementation of that, the revisions, updates, and so forth.
Sure. And that's the thing. You know, this, of course, the last time at the ballot box was the first time that really a look at changing the city charter had taken place. And College Station does continue to be a city in transition. As we define it that way, what do you think are the things that College Station needs to do in their next step of growing up, if you will?
Well, we've got a lot on our plate in terms of managing that growth. That's why the comprehensive plan is so important, because every decision we make about land use, about infrastructure development, about tax increment financing zones, and so forth, are ways to implement the vision and the ideas that were laid out in that plan. So I think the next steps are taking some of the hard decisions of moving forward with the bio corridor, moving forward with the medical district, dealing with our aging infrastructure, which is part of the wastewater and water plans. In my neighborhood, we're tearing up the streets, putting new sewer lines in. That is a direct result of conscientious, forward-thinking planning.
Sure. John Nichols joined us this morning, place for city council member. Let's talk about a few things that past councils have looked at and taken action on, and see if what your view might be. First of all, the whole idea of bonding as far as gaining capital for improvements within the city. Do you like the idea of maybe backloading it with some higher fees now, as opposed to having to go out and get a big capital improvement bond as you might need it in the future?
Well, I'm never in favor of a lot of extraneous fees unless you can really justify them. I'm not sure what you mean by backloading, unless you're talking about something like a transportation fee or something like that.
Well, first, I think first of water. Water raised their rates to help be able to build their future.
Well, that's a very legitimate approach, is thinking about the ratepayers contributing the resources that it takes to build out the infrastructure to serve themselves. Bonding is absolutely necessary for major extensions and improvements in that, but the ongoing operations and the replacement and of the aging infrastructure, we're trying to do as much of that as we can out of the rate-paying structures.
Sure. You mentioned transportation fee. What's John Nichols' view of that?
Well, I think the city, the citizens spoke on that. I don't think we need to revisit that. I did mention that last night, along with the previous council's discussions on impact fees, general impact fees, which there did not seem to be very much interest in implementing. When you look at those directions, and then you think about, well, how are we going to fund the infrastructure that's needed in these new growing areas? I think that's where that leads us to ideas like tax increment financing zones, mm-hmm. which we adopted two of last night.
And this is the first council that hasn't had to have new members come on and suddenly struggle with a budget. That part's taken care of. But obviously, you know, y'all took on a pretty good-sized elephant last night that really ended up being a three-hour discussion of the biomedical corridor and how College Station plays a part in that.
The discussion really is around the medical district,
and
that growth. And it was a very good discussion. I mean, we brought in every councilman had questions. Every council person had an opportunity to express their views. We did not vote on the management district parts of that, but we did vote and approve the tax increment financing components. I think those are appropriate ways to address this growth and management and development of that region of the city. One of the roles I think a city council person plays is protecting and enhancing the property values of the citizens of Texas, whether it's undeveloped land or those in neighborhoods. Neighborhood protection is a big item in my agenda. So I think we need to empower property owners through our neighborhood program association to do things for themselves, or empower landowners within a region that's yet to be developed, like the southern part of the medical district, to do some things for themselves that allows them to grow faster, develop the tax base, and benefit the entire community.
Yeah, I like that concept, and I presume that this is something that other cities have been looking at being able to do, because as a city grows from an old section to a new section, obviously you're going to need infrastructure on the back end for those older communities, but you'll have new sections of the community that want to be vibrant.
Yes, the tax increment financing zones have been around for quite a while. We haven't used them very much in College Station, but they're used in a lot of places. If managed properly, that's a way to provide the funding to invest up front and get that development moving. The municipal management districts is really what the discussion is now revolving around. And those are, as I said, empowering legal entities. They have to be authorized and enabled by a specific act of the state legislature. Once that's done, assuming it gets to that point and assuming the city council even votes for it, which won't happen until January 10th, then it comes back to council and we decide, do we want to consent and actually have this done? Mm-hmm. So we have until next summer to get to that, assuming the other pieces fall in place. We're still learning about that, but I think, again, it's a way to empower landowners in that area to do some things for themselves, right, and pay for it themselves.
You were unopposed in the election, and so as a result, we didn't have the normal candidates forum that we would have. So that gives us an opportunity to know a little bit more about the things that are important to you. So if you would, share some priorities as far as you're concerned.
Well, as you remember, we did have a chance to have a discussion 2 years ago,
did,
but that's
yep.
all right. A lot of new folks
sure,
in town.
Sure, absolutely.
I have recently retired from Texas A&M University after 44 years. Born and raised in upstate New York, only 5 miles from the Canadian border. A fairly rural background, but went on to university and higher education and have enjoyed a career at Texas A&M in the field of food and agricultural economics. Shortly after moving here, I got engaged in community activities. That's one of the characteristics of my nature, I guess, is that I like to be involved in community service, mm-hmm. from Lions Club to arts organizations. City committees and council since 1995, member of the Chamber of Commerce now, and I just try to reach out and see what needs to be done in the community and put some time into it. As far as my interest and priorities, beyond the things that we talked about,
right.
of dealing with the growth and implementing the comprehensive plan, maintaining core services, I think the city's done a great job of dealing with the economic downturn and budgeting and cutting where we had to, and in some places I think we've cut pretty close to the bone. So as I come on the council, I'm interested in seeing how some things that I supported, like outsourcing, have worked. And I think the staff is going to be providing reports periodically on that, and I'm going to be asking more questions about it. That's going to be dealt with partially in a retreat in January. But I'm also interested in the quality of life issues in Bryan College Station and the nature of our parks and so forth. Quality of life has been a big issue here. Our parks are a signature part of College Station's being, and I want to make sure that we continue to support and grow those.
Now, let's talk about that for just a second. We're talking about enhanced operation and maintenance. Are we looking to grow the Parks and Rec Department more as you start to get a little more funding again after some years of cutbacks? Where do you see that the areas need to be built back up?
Well, actually, that discussion is going to be part of our first day of our strategic planning retreat in late January. The impact of budget cuts on two primary things, parks and code enforcement. Both of those have, been noticeably hindered, if you want to call it that, or limited. And I think we have some opportunities to readdress that and see if there's better ways to do it. Whether it takes more people or not, I don't know, or better services, reorganization. I know the Parks Department is running very well. They've got a great staff. They have done a lot of reorganization there to save money. But if you look at the last community survey, you find that the citizens' view of parks services has dropped. And I don't know whether that's simply because we couldn't mow the parks as often during the recession or whether it's because of the drought. I mean, you could just blame it on that
sure.
as much as anything.
Sure.
I'd like to see where that's going, and I want to address some of those issues if we can and how we can.
Great. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you. Yep. Appreciate being here.
Uh-huh. John Nichols, a member of the College Station Board. What else you got for us?
Very quickly, I wanted to remind folks that College Station does have some unclaimed funds in the name of a lot of folks. And we have a database online that goes back to 1995. And when we're talking about unclaimed property and unclaimed funds, it could be uncashed payroll checks or vendor payments, utility deposit refunds, overpayments, court fees, things like that. So you can go to our website, cstx.gov/unclaimed, and you can type in a name. And if you're in there, it'll tell you how much money is owed to you. And there's contact information on how you can collect those funds. So again, that's at cstx.gov/unclaimed.